Good evening, everyone, and welcome to NAMA Seminars in Ayurveda. My name is Arya, and I, along with fellow member Ellen, will be moderating tonight's seminar. The Seminars in Ayurveda is a monthly teleconference organized and run by the members of the student workgroup NAMA. The Seminars in Ayurveda is a free service to the community at large, featuring a special presenter who presents an educational topic that is beneficial to Ayurveda students and practitioners. All listeners on this call have been muted so we can hear our presenter clearly, and you'll have an opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer portion of the seminar toward the end of the presentation. At this time, I'd like to introduce our presenter this evening, Sarah Luzignau, or Sarah Lu. Sarah is a yoga and Ayurveda professional with over a decade of experience teaching, consulting, and coaching. Sarah has been studying permaculture, urban agriculture, and sustainable growing methods for over a decade, and is a certified permaculture designer. Sarah's passions for permaculture, yoga, and Ayurveda are inspiring and contagious, and her delivery is precise. You may come to a training or workshop with Sarah as a stranger, but you will leave with a feeling of long-time friends. Sarah, thank you very much for being here today. You may now have the floor.
Thank you, Arya. It's really an honor to be here, and I'm excited by how excited other people have been since this article that I wrote for Everyday Ayurveda. It really kind of sparked this whole process, and it's snowballed into this really neat community of people who are interested in both Ayurveda and permaculture. And for me, it makes complete sense, and I feel like it is making complete sense for some other people too, and I hope that this call and my talk kind of brings to light some ideas that will help us all be a little bit more sustainable in our practices, in our businesses, and maybe just, you know, in our own personal lives, and also get excited about new ideas. So I'm really just formulating ideas about this myself. It's kind of a new thing to kind of merge these two ideas together, and so I've had a lot of fun preparing for this call and expanding on ideas that I've been having, and it's turning into something actual now. This is making it kind of official. So I'm really excited. So thank you for having me. I wanted to give a little bit more background about kind of my history with permaculture and Ayurveda independently, and then the timeline and when they came together, and then I'll talk a little bit about how I started my business, my Ayurveda apothecary business, with using the 12 permaculture principles. And so I'll help everybody who's either familiar with permaculture or Ayurveda understand either system, and then kind of hopefully show a spider web that creates some connections here. And I'm really looking forward to the Q&A later on, so make sure you write your questions down. So I first got into permaculture many years ago, and I did an intro to permaculture weekend at the Bullock Homestead, which is on Orcas Island in Washington, and this was like back in 2004, and it was a really wonderful experience, a very formative experience for me in my life at that time, and it's a very impressive homestead, and I highly encourage everybody listening to check it out. It's been in place for 20 to 25 years. I can't remember if it's 20 or 25 years. It may have been 20 years then, and it may be even close to 30 now. So the systems are very well established, and the plants are showing the true benefits of growing with permaculture principles in place. So I got very inspired by that in 2004, but I didn't attend my formal permaculture design course until 2011. And I did that in Traverse City, Michigan, where I'm originally from, with Penny Kriebel and Toby Hemenway. And Toby's written a couple really great books. One of them Guy's Garden. So that's a nice reference for some of you who are interested in following up and finding some more permaculture information. He's a kind of a second-generation permaculture educator. This system was originally set up in the 70s, David Holmgren and Bill Mollison were kind of the two men behind the system. And I'm not going to give a whole big history on permaculture. You can do some research on your own a little bit, but those are some pretty good names to look up if you're looking for books later on. So in between my husband, who I actually met at my permaculture design course in Traverse City, we spent some time in Basalt, Colorado at the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute, and that's where Justin did his permaculture design course. Jerome Osentowski runs that, and that's another well-established permaculture homestead, over 20 years of cultivation on that piece of property there, and he's got some amazing things, including a fig tree that takes up something like a 20 by 20 greenhouse by itself, growing figs in high altitude Colorado. It's pretty impressive. So that's kind of my permaculture background, and my Ayurveda trainings kind of began spontaneously. I started to seek more depth and understanding from a yoga perspective, and specifically with my yoga injuries and some imbalances I was starting to feel happening in my yoga practice and in my body. So I opted to train as an Ayurveda and yoga specialist in a registered yoga training, 500-hour training program led by Jackie Chodo. And I've also studied with Dr. Ladd pretty briefly, unfortunately, but I have aspirations to spend a lot more time with him, as well as Aparna Kanolkar, Jai Dev Singh, John Dulliard, Rod Stryker. So I'm relatively new. I'm just very, very passionate. So it's kind of been, I've just gone gangbusters with this because it all makes so much sense. So, okay, basically all I see are patterns. I see patterns in Ayurveda and permaculture, and then everything around us and in us makes sense when you start to understand a larger pattern and system. So these two systems are powerful, I think, because they outline and illustrate ways in which we can begin to A, see these patterns, B, interact with the patterns, and then C, integrate the patterns into our lives in a holistic way. So one thing I love about both Ayurveda and permaculture is that every time somebody asks me what either mean, I answer a little differently depending on, you know, where in the pattern I am. And I think that definitions are different for each person that you'll ask too. And those of you that that work in these two systems are probably resonating with that. I've stood next to somebody describing Ayurveda to somebody else and been like, wow. Yeah, I guess, I probably would have described it totally differently, but that makes a lot of sense. So it sort of depends on how integrated we are in our systems and how well we're seeing patterns sometimes also. So for those of you that are listening, some of you may be permaculture people, some of you may be Ayurveda people, so I'm just going to do a quick little bio about what each of these systems generally mean very, very vaguely. So permaculture is a design system that strives to create self-maintained systems modeled from natural ecosystems. So usually when you hear the term permaculture, you hear it in context with agriculture or ecology. It's a design system, and therefore it fits on top of any problem and provides valuable guidelines. So for me personally, my problem was that I wanted to undertake, was approaching an Ayurvedically inspired lifestyle on a daily basis, and I just had this design system in place already in my life, and it made a ton of sense to use it. So I'll describe how I did that in a little bit. So to define Ayurveda a little bit, which most of you are probably well-versed in since this is a NAMA seminar, but in case there are any listeners who are new, it's also known as the science of life, as it is literally translated from Sanskrit. It's the sister science of yoga and is the oldest medical model on the planet, dating back over 5,000 years. So needless to say, it's a huge body of knowledge, and that can be daunting for beginners. I wanted to have a way to make it more accessible to myself and my students. So I fell back on these problem-solving training in permaculture. So there are 12 design principles to employ when facing any problem from a permaculture perspective. And I use these principles to create my fall product business, which is called Ayurvedic Apothecary. And my product is a series of aromatherapy blends made with essential oils and made in small batches. And they're designed to be a catalyst in moving the doshas back towards balance. For those of you that are on Facebook, I've posted in the Facebook event a link to a page from my website that might be useful for anybody who's a visual learner to follow along. The short link, I'm going to tell you a really random collection of words and characters, or letters and characters, so get ready to type it into your browser. And then I'll give you the long link as well. They both go to the same page. And it was password protected, but I removed the password protection today, so it should go right there if you had trouble with it earlier. Okay, it's http://wp.me/e=Paul4#I=Ingrid#P=7X=7E=Edward#6. And if that was just sounded like another language to you, it's also SarahBlueBodyWorks.com/2014/09/16/Ayurveda-Permaculture. So I hope you guys aren't discouraged by that. I couldn't figure out how to make that a little bit clearer. But it is linkable through the web, through the event on the Facebook page. I also wanted to announce that we created a Facebook group for follow-up discussion. If anybody's interested in continuing this fun discussion about how these two design systems work together, it's facebook.com/groups/14828931919340. That's also on the page that I've created through my website, so you can get to it there too. And I think that we can probably, we've posted it on the Facebook event as well. Okay, so I'll continue on here how these 12 design principles, I'll tell you what they are and I'll describe how I use them. Sometimes having an anecdotal story helps people understand systems. So I'm using the creation of my business, Ayurvedic Apothecary, kind of as an anecdote here. I'm not really trying to just make you all sit through a marketing campaign. It's really just for anecdotal purposes. I'll try to be as candid as possible. So the first permaculture principle is observe and interact. And by taking time to engage with nature, we can design solutions to our particular situation. This is something that we learn to do through Ayurveda as well as permaculture. I love this first principle. So I observed my desire to begin changing my lifestyle, and I knew that Ayurveda was a system that resonated with my heart and spirit, probably because it resonates with earthy roots and permaculture. So I had this groundwork laid down already. Ayurveda just smacked right into place. They're both focused on finding elements in nature. So that's the first principle, observe and interact. The second principle is to catch and store energy. By developing systems that collect resources at peak abundance, we can use them in times of need. For me, this is very applicable for an agriculture perspective. But if you were to replace energy with money, I think that this makes a lot of sense from an economic perspective. So I pooled my resources and waited to launch the project until Christmas time, when I could justify the expense because the product was also going to be gifts for everybody that year, which actually went really was really well received, and I was thankful for that. It wasn't just things people couldn't use. So catch and store energy, number two. And then we've got number three, obtain a yield. Ensure that you're getting truly useful rewards as a part of the work that you're doing. So I offered my product at cost to many of my yoga teacher friends to solicit their feedback on the effectiveness on the product. And this had double rewards because they started using it in their classes, which gave me more visibility. So I was able to attain a yield through not necessarily financial means right away, but word of mouth and visibility was a big get-off-the-ground boost for the business. So obtaining a yield is number three. Number four, apply self-regulation and accept feedback. So we need to discourage inappropriate activity to ensure that our systems can continue to function well. For me, I really wanted to expand my product line right away, but I had to it wasn't necessarily sustainable to do so. I had to rein in my enthusiasm so that I could continue to build financially without burning out all of my resources at once. So that's how I applied self-regulation. And accepting feedback was part of the solicitation, giving some free product away as well, kind of tied into what I did with the number three. So applying self-regulation, accepting feedback, number four. And then number five, use and value renewable resources and services. Make the best use of nature's abundance to reduce our consumptive behavior and dependence on non-renewable resources. So for me, I was using this in a way to try to source organically whenever possible and locally as well. And I have big dreams of using only organic essential oils and base oils. The availability has been inconsistent, and I'm still a small business, so the quantities, I can't order enough to justify large bulk orders sometimes, so that gets hard. But for the most part, I do feel like I'm using and valuing renewable resources. Number six, produce no waste. By valuing and making use of all the resources that are available to us, nothing goes to waste. For me, I have systems in place that ensure that I get every last drop of essential oil out of the bottles, and I recycle and reuse all the materials that I can. I find that there's a degree of simplicity once a system has been established, and this is true for everything. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, once we establish a routine, I like thinking about this one in the scope of finding a daily routine. There's no waste. At first, we're a little clumsy about how we spend our time with our daily routine, but then we become a lot more efficient and fluid and mindful about it once it becomes a rhythm. So number six, produce no waste. Number seven, design from patterns to details. By stepping back, we can observe patterns in nature and society, and these can form the backbone of our designs, with the details filled in as we go. So for me, I saw momentum in the aromatherapy market and the natural health market, especially Ayurveda, depending even in northern Michigan where I was when I launched this business. I now live in Golden, Colorado, and it's even more exciting and well-known here. So I kind of rode on the momentum with that. I saw people's interests already peaked. I saw the way that my product idea would fill a niche, maybe, and one that I had perceived that no one had else conceived of. And then I got excited about the details of how a system of Ayurveda and the understanding of one of the biggest components of it, in the doshas, could be brought to people in a very appealing way. So I started to design from these patterns that I was seeing and then found the details as I was going. Number eight, integrate rather than segregate. By putting the things in the right place, relationships develop between those things, and they work together to support each other. So I already had a very excited passion for aromatherapy before I started studying Ayurveda. So when my idea came to me, it was like a blast of intensity that I couldn't ignore. And my newfound passion with Ayurveda could dovetail with my passion for Ayurveda, or for aromatherapy. So it still surprises me today as I study and read more how much sense it makes to use one of the fastest acting subdoshas, pranadosha, pranavata, to catalyze the whole system back towards balance quickly. And this is responsible for inhalation and makes possible all the senses, including the ability to think and have feelings. And almost all diseases have some aspect of disruption of the pranavata. Therefore, breathing exercises and aromatherapy can be an important part of healing in any condition. I got really excited when I saw these overlapping things happening. So we integrate rather than segregate, number eight. Number nine, use small and slow solutions. Small and slow systems are easier to maintain than big ones, making better use of local resources and producing more sustainable outcomes. So I've started really small with only three products, and I began distribution in a small circle of studios and co-ops. Gradual growth allows for mindful growth, I think. This principle is invaluable to small business owners. I have grown, but I'm still working pretty locally on the ground, and I have accounts on in a similar small way. I don't think I'll ever market to Whole Foods. I don't feel like that would be a sustainable way to grow for me personally. Not that other entrepreneurs shouldn't do so. So number nine was use slow and small solutions. Number 10, use and value diversity. Diversity reduces vulnerability to a variety of threats and takes advantage of the unique nature of the environment in which it resides. I'm using this principle as I approach my growth. Up until recently, my customers have mostly been students and acquaintances, and this makes for a market that is easily maxed out. So I have since started to broaden my scope a little bit, even since I wrote this article originally. And I sell my products on Etsy, and I actually sell it internationally just as much as I do locally through this very interesting medium, which I find is very diverse. I also don't rely on this as my sole source of income. And my business is multifaceted and includes other side projects that kind of tie in to bringing my product kind of out into the world. So I practice Thai massage as well, and I like to get information from my clients about, you know, what their doshic imbalances are, and then I use my oils with them in their massages. So that's one way that I kind of work and use with value diversity, you know, applying that to my business. Okay, number 11, we're almost done here. Use edges and value the marginal. The interface between things is where the most interesting events take place. These are often the most valuable, diverse, and productive elements in the system. And this is all about the networking aspect of business to me. I played the edges with setting up demos and info booths at local co-ops and talking about my product. And then I also taught beginner introduction to Ayurveda workshops to my yoga students. And these opportunities were amazing and provided me a platform to connect with people who had little previous knowledge of Ayurveda or aromatherapy. I also donated my products to many silent auctions that I support the cause of. And I made sure to create something visual to accompany the product to explain concisely and clearly. I think these two entrepreneur marketing and networking angles worked out really well for me. So I was working and valuing edges and kind of marginal, not meaning like mediocre, but the margins, the edges. Last permaculture design principle, number 12, creatively use and respond to change. We can have a positive impact on inevitable change by carefully observing and then intervening at the right time. I had been producing my product for a few months when I got an email from another local small business owner and friend, and she warned me about the use of the word organic. And I didn't know this, but apparently even for non-consumables, the word is kind of off limits. basically you have to buy your rights to use it from the federal government. And this was unfortunate news for me because I had already put a bunch of money into marketing supplies. So had I done a little bit more research, maybe I could have saved myself some time and money. However, it was a learning experience. The National Organic Program is the regulator of the word organic, and I found their website, like other government websites, to be completely non-user friendly. It was difficult to find out what I needed to know, so I decided to just leave it out altogether. So I had to creatively use this and respond to change a little bit. Maybe it was a little bit unfortunate that it happened after I had already put a bunch of money into marketing, but it was a great learning experience. So it did have a positive impact in the end because I got a little bit more comfortable with navigating government regulations, I suppose. So I feel like creating this analogy has given me a platform to apply to other projects, whether they're business projects or other problems in general. And I really hope that these 12 permaculture principles help you design your business model if that's what you're looking to do with this. I'm really grateful for my teachers all along the way. Whether they knew it or not, the National Organic Program was a teacher as well. Another permaculture concept that I think keeps us in the moment with our yoga off the mat is this. It's something that I learned in my design course, and it's called design tight, run loose. And I think it helps us all just be a little bit more comfortable with getting a system in place and then letting it go and letting it just live in the world and maybe stepping back a little bit, let it grow its own roots, let it flourish or not without feeling too attached to it. So that's not necessarily a permaculture principle, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful another web in this spider web that we're tying together with permaculture and Ayurveda. I also thought that there were pretty, I like making mashups, and I thought it was pretty hilarious to call this kind of idea Permaveda or Ayur culture. Ayurveda and permaculture both have interesting, like, large and small meanings. So we can play around with those a little later in this Facebook group and in Q&A too. So I'm really excited to hear about what everybody has to say. If you are looking on my website at that page that I created for this talk, you'll see some graphics. And I just threw these in here because they're helpful. There's a lot of drawing and illustration that kind of comes with this permaculture design model. And I feel like the same thing happens in Ayurveda. These concepts can be really heady and hard to understand with this spoken word. So I've thrown in a couple graphics as well, and I feel like they overlap really interestingly. So if you're not listening, or if you're listening but not looking at the website, I think this will still be interesting. So the first one that's down there below the downloadable copy of David Holmgren's Essence of Permaculture, you can click on that link and download this really nice PDF. We've got the bullseye of the koshas. And then, the five koshas. This is kind of an overlap from yoga, the Anamaya kosha, the food and energy, the food and physical. That kind of lines up with zone five in that next graphic below it, these kind of wild, unmanageable areas. And then things get a little bit more and more specific as we get closer to the center of the bullseye. In both of these models, I think it's really, really cool. This is like the one graphic back that I thought back and forth really tickled me how they lined up so beautifully. And below that colorful zone graphic with the rainbow colors, we've got the 12 permaculture principles kind of surrounding the circle of these three core principles that that kind of link them all, Earth Care, Fair Share, and People Care. So that's like a really common permaculture graphic right there. And then below that, we've got the permaculture flower, which helps us kind of understand how these permaculture principles, these 12 principles that are in the center of this flower, spiral out into all these different systems that we can use them for. Below that, this very familiar Ayurvedic graphic of the doshas, the elements, and effects. Below that, we've got the six tastes. And then below that, the clock, all really interesting-looking graphics. And then I've got a couple permaculture, I've got a couple Pinterest boards where I keep putting graphics like this and ideas and articles that I come across, and there's one for permaculture and one for Ayurveda, so I've got links there as well. Yeah, all right, that's all I had to say. I'd love to hear what everybody else has to say now. I'm tired of talking.
Thank you very much.
I think we're unmuted for everybody, right? Is that how it goes? Or are you going to just let people flag and then unmute them individually?
So what we're going to do is, in order to ask a question, just press *6 on your phone, then follow the prompt, and we'll be notified that you're in the queue. Then we'll unmute you so you can ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My name is Nemia, and I'm also a permaculture designer and instructor, so it was nice hearing from another permie.
Good.
I'm listening while I'm on the road. So
sure.
Is there a way that you can put up a NAMA, the information that you talked about your website link, first of all? And then second of all, my question is, I do both Ayurveda and permaculture, and I find that in my practice, what I find is that I'm helping people grow those hard-to-reach herbs and then kind of working with them to blend and mix their teas. Is that something you've thought of doing?
I haven't.
Has anyone approached you to do that? And then obviously sharing the abundance with the other clients and kind of mutually bringing them all together. I am in Florida, so our terrain is a little different than up north.
You're in Florida? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
So our terrain
is really long
different.
Growing season.
Yes. So we, you know, what I try to do is, well, I have a client has a little plot here. Can you grow this? This is good for you. Can you grow this? And, you know.
Oh, I love that.
We mutually share and, you know, share the abundance. That's just to share with you and our colleagues that some things can be done, especially with these hard-to-reach herbs and the dynamics with the organic. You know, we can teach them compost. We can teach them to have better stuff on themselves, especially when it comes to their diet and their spices.
I think that's a really cool idea. I do think that the links are posted somewhere on NAMA, or if they're not already, we'll make sure that they are.
Okay, I appreciate that. Well, thank you.
But I think that's a really brilliant idea. I'm really excited about it. And I think that that'd be really easy to have happen, like, on a really small scale.
Yeah,
even
like community.
Totally, everywhere and anywhere, just a small scale. We could even do these little, this is in a container, potentially, for people that are, wow, I wonder if there's any seed sharing. Where do you get? Well, we should follow up. Follow up with me on Facebook because this could be something that we could all work on together is to get a kind of a seed bank going for some of these Ayurvedic herbs that are maybe difficult to find. I know I had a pretty hard time finding even just processed dried herbs locally, let alone the plants or the seeds to grow them myself.
I think that's a great idea because we do also have a hard time finding a shoka, for example, and things like that. And it's like, okay, and put it out there in our network. Anybody has a tree in their backyard that's growing? We need this. So, and that's what we do. But that's a great idea. So absolutely. I'll check the link in. My name again is Nemium, and I'm on NAMA. So.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing. It's so good to hear this together because we do this together. I do this all the time.
Yeah. I think that there's a secret contingency of all of us that have been like, oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you have a question, just press *6 and you'll be entered into the queue, and we'll see that you are, and we'll unmute you so you can ask your question. Press *6. And also, you can find the link to Sarah's webpage in NAMA by going to the homepage, ayurvedanama.org, then going to the resources menu bar, scrolling down, click on seminars in Ayurveda, and then you'll scroll down some more and you see a photo of Sarah. And then below that is the hyperlink of the topic. Click on that. And beneath the bio is the link to your website.
Right on.
And right now we're just waiting for the person who is in the queue. Hello? We have an Ellen.
Oh, we're muted like last year.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi, sorry. when you present these concepts to your students or to your clients, how do they generally begin the steps to integrating them into their lives?
Oh, boy.
I mean, maybe you could just give some examples of how you kind of work it in with them.
It's really long and slow because of how involved this is. Are you talking about permaculture principles specifically, or are you just talking about Ayurvedic principles with my yoga students?
Well, the integration of the two, the Ayurveda and the permaculture principles, like when you talk to, say, your Ayurveda clients or your yoga students about starting to work these things into their daily lives, so...
I feel like this is just a brand new, like, actually working with clients from this perspective has been a brand new thing for me. Understanding this and working with it in my life is something I've been doing for a little while. This kind of, this article that I wrote was really the, how, me explaining it, how I've been doing it, but I haven't had the pleasure of working with people who have been that interested. I mean, we would have to sit down for a couple hours and really get deep with these concepts before people understood them enough to integrate them. And really in a yoga class, in an hour-long class, there's just not enough time. So, but if I were to, I would really like to teach some workshops on this because I feel like we'd have to sit down and be really focused and get some time to bounce ideas back and forth about it because everybody's interpretation of this is a little different. Everybody's experience and what they come to the table with is a little bit different with both permaculture and Ayurveda. We're all getting exposed in different ways. And when I bring it up, I try to find out how they're working with routines and systems in place and kind of find out where their philosophies are. And then I like making analogies. I think people learn really well with them. So I try to kind of spin some analogies based on what I've been doing. But, yeah, and it hasn't happened as much as I would like it to happen. I think it's kind of a springboard right now.
Okay. Well, thanks for answering my question.
Sure.
If you have a question, just press *6. And you'll be entered into the queue, and then we'll unmute you so you can ask your question. I have a question, Sarah.
Yeah.
it seems like you're a very busy person in that you have a really eclectic array of projects that you work on. And I was just looking at the Dinacharya map that you have of the dosha and the daily cycle and the different types of activities to do in the different parts of the day. How is it, as you grow your business, also practicing this kind of Ayurvedic lifestyle? Is it easier when you're trying to kind of do Permaveda, you know, and leading a new business? Or, you know, how does it all work out for you personally in your practice when you're also working so hard, you know, business-wise?
Yeah, it's tough. I think the there are two or three principles that I keep coming back to. And number four, applying self-regulation, is a really big one for me because I get really passionate about things and I dive right in. And sometimes the bottom of the pool is invisible. You know what I mean? It's like I could just keep going. And wait, how does this relate to everything else I was doing? So that's something that I'm constantly thinking about. And luckily, I studied permaculture before I studied. Well, maybe that's not luckily. I understand permaculture principles pretty well, and they're integrated, so I have this, like, little checklist in my mind by now. The other one that I feel like I use a lot is number eight, which is integrate rather than segregate. And another way to think about that is, here comes a wise analogy from one of my teachers. If you're gonna plant an oak tree, for example, in your garden, and you want it to provide shade, for example, you also want that tree to do a couple different things, to be as productive and to kind of kill as many birds as you can with this one stone. So not only does it provide shade, but you also want it to maybe to fruit. So you actually might decide to plant an apple tree instead of an oak tree, unless you really like to eat acorns. So I try to ask myself, well, does this integrate with what I'm already doing, or is it kind of a separate thing that's going to segregate my energies in a way? And it wasn't until quite recently that I started to see the spider web of how things connect. And really, when permaculture and Ayurveda started to connect in my mind was when I got super excited, because then these two, like, things that I'd been spending so much time on no longer, you know, were dividing my energy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then another thing that I think is really important for me personally to remember, I have a fair amount of air and space. I'm sure most of you listening to this call probably figure that out. But using small and slow solutions is really, really a key for Vata folks, to take baby steps and to try to see how one step comes after the other, because it can get really, we can jump all the way across this other end of the spider web before there's a connection there sometimes. It's been a learning process, that's for sure.
All right. So it seems like planning is a huge part of it before acting. Really, you know, what steps are you going to take to get from A to Z, for example? So where do you see yourself in, like, 5 years? Or where do you see Permaveda in 5 years? Or, you know, where's the next phase?
Next phase. Well, I feel like right now there's a lot of brainstorming that we all need to do, those of us anyways that are really interested in these two modalities. I've had some really exciting conversations already about how we might see this continuing forward. I really can't even say. It's got so much potential. It seems so much bigger than what my mind can grasp at this point. But I really, I like being part of the catalyst to get people talking about it. And seeing the biggest picture isn't always my strongest suit. But the next step, for sure, I'm clear on, and that's connecting with other people who are interested in how these systems work together, and to create communities around it and discussion groups. That, for me, for sure, is what I'm clear on, what's happening next. But there, it's kind of explosive. It could go in 100 directions, and I kind of hope it does, because everybody has different pieces of each of these systems that really resonate with them. You know what I mean? They're both vast and broad, but having them growing in one place, maybe a center that involves, you know, growing permaculturally and also hosting, I don't know, speakers in Ayurveda, working with I'm just like spouting off ideas right now, but we could even have like a healing center where we're growing on-site organic, permaculturally organic herbs and cultivating a sense of growth and regeneration on the land that's happening around us and giving back to community in a way and creating a center where we can grow and people can come get Panchakarma and also learn about permaculture, and then the system creates a surplus that then can go back to the community. That's one idea.
It's an awesome idea.
Kind of a big, it's a big thing. I'm really excited about it.
Very inspiring. Let's see if anyone else has any questions. Just press *6 and you'll be entered into the queue. And in the meantime, if you wanted to add anything more before anyone else asks a question, feel free to do so. We still have about 13 minutes left.
Well, one thing that has one other overlap that has come to mind is the accessibility of both of these systems. Ayurveda is one of the largest and biggest medical practices across the world because of how easily applicable it is and how ground level it is. And you don't really need a huge lab to heal people. You start very very simply with food as medicine. And in the way that permaculture works for farming, it's a similar thing. You use what you have. You harness resources that are within your community. You think outside of the box in how to make this old refrigerator turn into a food dehydrator, for example. And I feel like the global accessibility of both of these systems working independently is already happening. But bringing them together, I think that since they are so accessible, it would be really easy for people on a larger scale to integrate these practices into their lives, and people start to understand how. So that's another exciting thought and vein of how the overlap is happening. Anybody else have questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
You have the choice. You can add anything more, or we can draw the seminar to a close. Totally up to you.
I feel like I've been talking a lot. So if I don't, there's no other questions. I feel like this is no, it's far from complete, but it's. I feel like I've added all of the expertise that I'm really ready to add. And I really want this to be, like I said, a springboard. Communication and continued conversations can happen, and I'm excited to see what comes of this.
Yes, plenty more to come.
Yeah.
It's now time to draw tonight's seminar to a close. Thank you, Sarah, for your presence, your energy, your inspiration, your enthusiasm. We appreciate all of it and your contribution. And thank you to the listeners. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's seminar. The seminar has been recorded, and it will be available to the public for the next 60 days or until the next seminar is published. Thereafter, the recording will be archived for non-members only and may be accessed only through login. Thank you all, and good night.